Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on VBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. David Lee Marks is best known for his work as a member of the Beach Boys. Growing up across the street from the Wilson family, Mark spent his formative years singing and playing with Brian Dennis and Carl Wilson. 13-year-old Mark officially joined the Beach Boys in February 1962 and became one of the five signatories on the band's recording contract with Capitol Records. He remained a member through October 1963, performing in over 100 concerts across the United States, appearing on national television, and playing rhythm guitar and singing on the band's first four albums, and on hits like Surfin' Safari, 409, Surfin' USA, Shut Down, Surfer Girl, In My Room, and Be True to Your School. While David's time in the band may be considered short, there's no denying that impact of the early years of the Beach Boys on their enduring and iconic legacy. In 2007, David co-wrote his autobiography, The Lost Beach Boy, with Beach Boys historian John Stebbins. The book is a frank account of his career with and without the Beach Boys, his health problems, his musical development, and his recovery and acceptance within the Beach Boys community. The Beach Boys celebrated their 50th anniversary in 2012 when David Marks joined Brian Wilson, Mike Love, Al Jardine, and Bruce Johnston on a 73-day world tour. The highly anticipated reunion kicked off at the 54th Annual Grammy Awards, where they performed two classic hits, Surfer Girl with Foster the People and Good Vibrations with Maroon 5. David Marks toured as a part-time member of Mike Love's Beach Boys from 2014 to 2016 and continues to perform with the Surf City All-Stars and Dean Torrance of Jan and Dean. David's also returned to his roots as a session guitarist, playing on several albums by artists such as The Smithereens, who we just had on the show recently, the Surf City All-Stars, Mod Hippie, Jez Graham, and Miami Dan. Please welcome guitarist, singer, songwriter, author, and original member of the legendary Beach Boys, David Marks, to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, David.
Good to be with you.
How are things in California?
Well, it seems like a nice, warm summer day here today. I remember it was 88 on Christmas one year. Weather's really weird here.
The fires, are they done? Is that a done deal, or what's going on there?
Yeah, the fires are pretty much under control.
Right.
Smoke is out of the air. We've been breathing smoke for a while here.
It's horrible.
That's just part of it's part of the terrain, part of the natural progression around these parts. I imagine it's been going on since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Of course, we get a few little helping hands from mankind here and there, you know, a toss to match or something like that.
Right.
Oh, and the electric company now is being blamed for some of the fires.
Yeah, PG&E, right?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's great to be alive.
You know, our station, BBS, is in Lafayette now, but we were in Paradise, and we got burnt down to the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, we lost a lot I lost four interviews, but, you know, they lost the station, and then they regrouped and went to Lafayette. And I think a couple of years are going to end up in Austin. I think they're going to finally move out of California because everywhere they go, they get followed by fire. Just terrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is Austin still sort of a renaissance, up and coming capital of the world?
Yeah, it's a great music town. Yeah, great music town. So I think that'd be a good place for him, I think.
Well, maybe me too.
Yeah. Well, Florida's great. I'm here in near Tampa, so Florida's still, you know, I mean, we hardly get any hurricanes here. They threaten us, but, you know, they really don't hit us too bad.
So the last one wasn't, well, I don't know, earthquakes, hurricanes, fires, who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
The earth is an inhospitable place for mankind to exist.
Seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It is getting hotter every year, I can tell you that, especially down here, you know?
Well, we have to increase our rate of vibration on our bodies and able to withstand the heat. The atmosphere is thinning and the heat is, that sounded crazy, didn't it?
I tell you, though, it is getting hotter down here in Florida. I mean, we had this year was the hottest we've ever had it. You know, average was, you know, like 95, which is a little too hot for me.
Yeah, well, I'm from the desert, so.
Oh, you're used to it.
I grew up here in California.
Yeah.
29 Palms, I mean, around Palm Springs area.
Nice area.
And I'm kind of used to the desert, but I'm right now in the San Fernando Desert Valley.
I want to ask you, there's the saying, original Beach Boy, jumpsuit model, and world traveling lion. What does that mean?
That means that my wife has a sense of humor and don't always understand.
I thought
so
that...
We did a whole series of pictures. I think she put them on, what's the latest thing now, Instagram or something?
Yeah, right.
And that around the world with lion and pigeon masks. She wears a pigeon mask, and I wear a lion mask, and so we go to Petra. And a lot of the pictures look fake. You know, us standing in front of this great pyramid with a pigeon mask,
right,
and, you know, on a camel with a lion mask. And there's all kinds of adventures with us all over the world.
That's funny.
And got in trouble a couple times at the Pantheon, at the Forbidden City. They didn't want to, or at Machu Picchu, they didn't want us to wear the mask.
Really?
I don't know why. One of those things.
Well, that's good she has a sense of humor.
And this jumpsuit model thing, I was in a band in the late 60s called The Colors.
Right.
And we, our manager was Forrest Hamilton, Chico Hamilton's son. Do you know who Chico Hamilton
is?
Sure,
yeah.
He's a great jazz artist.
Yeah.
Great jazz artist. And so his son was, he was dabbling in the managerial arts of rock bands, and he got us a gig modeling for Jansen Sportswear, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put these jumpsuits on with our guitars and went down to the picture studio, and it was published in some magazine, Esquire or something like that, I think.
How about that?
And so what was the other one?
Traveling Lion, a jumpsuit model, original Beach Boy, we know that.
Okay. Well, I guess if that's all I have to my credit, and Father would be a good one, too.
There you go. You know, I noticed you had a song on one of my favorite shows, Grey's Anatomy. You know, me and my wife binge watch that like crazy. And you had a song
on it. Yeah, it was on the jukebox in a bars game. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, how cool is that?
It's very cool.
Yeah.
That's my good friends now. Also, I have a song that's coming out in the movie with Christian Bale and Matt Damon.
Right.
It's about the Ferrari Ford guys coming out.
Yeah, that's right.
A song that I wrote when I was 15 in that movie.
Oh, wow. Huh.
And I also, he's gotten me some other things, too. This guy, he places my tunes. I just mailed him my catalog a couple years ago, and he's gotten me a tremendous amount of stuff. It's amazing.
Hmm. How come...
One of the only ways to make music nowadays,
right,
in the music business.
Yeah, you got so many ways. You got movies, TV shows, you got video games, which it's another way to make money, you know?
Oh, yeah, we were on a pinball machine in Vegas, I remember.
Oh, really?
We went there.
Huh.
We went to the unveiling.
Right.
I'm sorry, I bucked noted. Yeah, that's us on the pinball machine. A lot I don't know if Dolly Parton has one, but she should. That'd be great, and Bobby Shane, Dolly Parton.
Some people just make a lot of money on that, you know? It's crazy. Yeah.
She once said to Dolly Parton, "I spend a lot of money trying to look this cheap."
I like her. I love Dolly Parton.
Yeah, me too. From the beginning, I've loved her.
I was lucky enough to be on a conference call with her, Linda Ronstadt, and Emmylou Harris. That was a hoot.
Yeah, I bet.
They were funny. They make fun of each other. They're laughing all the way. They're pretty cool. Did you try to introduce a lot of your? You said you'd written a lot of songs when you were young. You try to get them involved in the Beach Boys so they can record them, or how did that work out?
Oh yeah, that's kind of a funny story actually. Brian really didn't take me very seriously as like a 13-year-old songwriter. I don't know how old I was, but so I went off. And recorded on my own with a band of Carl Wilson's friends from Hawthorne High, Mark Goldcroft and Bill Trinkle, and a couple of guitar players, I forgot the names, Jim Petko. And anyway, we started the Marksman, and we recorded for A&M and Warner Brothers, and didn't really sell much. The thing is, Murray Wilson, Brian Dennison Carl's dad, was the manager of the Beach Boys at the time.
Yep.
He heard me practicing across the street with my Marksman band.
Mm-hmm.
And this is while I'm still touring with the Beach Boys. So I've got two bands going at once. And so anyway, he wanted to, this is right in the middle of his big spat with his son Brian about managing and producing more of a hand in the actual record production. Brian, you know, had a vision, so he didn't want any of that going on. So they were feuding, and so Murray wanted to merge, and you know, to try to compete with Brian, he wanted to manage my band, and I said, no, that's part of the reason why I because of you, why would I want you to manage my band?
Exactly.
And so he goes off and gets the Sun Rays, and he starts writing songs for the Sun Rays along with their drummer, and they had a couple of releases, it's a little bit of airplay, kind of like the Marksman, but maybe not as much airplay as the Marksman, but fans tank. Nobody can compete with Brian Wilson. He's one of a kind. But he was a great mentor, and he gave me most of my musical education, actually. You know, he got me started. And so Murray kind of blackballed me from record airplay on the radio. Because of that, he would threaten the DJs that they wouldn't get the next Beach Boys exclusive if they played my record.
That's crazy.
Heard that from the LA DJ.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's totally true or not, but I wouldn't put it past him, but I loved the guy. He was like a second father to me. He was only trying to watch out for his boys, you know, in spite of his bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
He was family first with him, I guess.
Yeah. You know, David Marks and the Marksmen, I love you guys' version of Let's Dance. That was my favorite version of that song. That was somewhat of a hit, wasn't it, with you guys?
Yeah, don't tell Chris Montez that.
Yeah, no, you guys' version rocked, man. I remember hearing that version more than Chris's, I think.
Yeah, I'm just so friends with Chris. I see him, you know, at least once a year.
Yeah.
I love that guy. He's great. He goes around and plays concerts and shows.
Right.
So, but yeah, that was one of the ones I didn't write, unfortunately. That's a great song.
Great song.
You know what? That was one that my guy played in a movie somewhere, too. So good for Chris.
Right. And another favorite of mine was an instrumental Sir song called The Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah, that was the popular song with a lot of, you know, I was surprised in Spain. I love that.
Awesome, too, so, man.
Tour in Spain a couple years ago, and I was surprised. I couldn't believe how nice people were and how well. What happened was they didn't catch up with music till later because of their dictator guy and all the Western music and records and stuff like that. So they're just now catching up. And they knew that band, they knew every song. Aphonic is their name. They knew all of my songs. They played them better than I did. And they provided me with the same gear I had when I was 14, a dual Shellman and a Jaguar.
Huh.
So I played praise those guys and their friend, the guitar player Fernando. He's big over there too. He's just known by Fernando. And his surf music is actually alive in places. I'm surprised. Like the old surf instrumental type stuff, even before it was Beach Boy.
Surf music's great. Like you said, I think it's timeless. You know, I think Pulp Fiction, you know, when they did that dance scene, you know, they brought in a little bit of surf music there.
Well, you know, surf music was an accident, but the surfers would pick music to play at their surf music at, you know, at the high school auditoriums. They had, like, what was his name? Gee, I forgot the business guy's name. We made all the surf movies, but there were no soundtracks to them, so they would pick The Ventures and Dick Dale, and people like that were unwittingly becoming the surf fans. They had no idea that they turned into the, because they were being used to back up the surf movies, and so then that became a genre, and people started naming their bands, you know, like The Surf Tales or whatever.
There's
a million of them.
There was a million of them,
Beach Boys were kind of like that. Me and Carl, actually, and Dennis, we played all the surf instrumentals of the day and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's when Brian heard that. He wanted to incorporate it with his, like, surfer girl in my room kind of stuff. And because he was just on the piano and vocals was Brian's main thing. He didn't pay too much attention to the rock and roll guitar, like Chuck Berry and that kind of stuff. So I think that's partially responsible for bringing the Beach Boys to the marketplace. Right. You know, it was that rock and just dirty garage sound.
Well, I think Brian was into jazz too, right? Didn't he bring some of that jazz?
Most definitely, yeah. He knew how to arrange jazz harmonies. He was a genius. So he did vocal arrangements that rivaled the Four Freshmen. That was one of his favorite groups that he was influenced by. And so you mix that in, you know, the major seventh chord with the rock and roll guitar, and you got something different that hadn't been heard yet. This is like the early 60s, 61, 62. And that combination was winner, you know.
Yeah.
It created a new sound. Plus the subject matter of the hot rod, you know, drove the people in the Midwest, you know, because they were all into hot rods, and then the coast had the surfing fantasy thing. And it was just all the elements at one time. The chemistry was, you know, all the souls involved, the little consciousness there with the five of us. And it just was the right combination at the right time. That's like every successful rock band, I think. It's magical.
Yeah, I agree. What were those early touring days like?
Pardon?
What were those early touring days like when you guys first made it big?
Am I breaking up? You're breaking up.
Yeah, a little bit.
For the man on the moon.
Hey, it's only California to Florida. I mean...
what was the question?
What were the touring days like, you know, those crazy times?
Not like today. The only thing that was about the same as today is trashing the hotel. Other than that, we had to carry our own gear and load it out.
Right.
Drive our own station wagon and smell each other's dirty socks. Like, we had, like, one station wagon, and then Mike had his own private limo. Like, not limo, but it was an old Jaguar that he hired one of our buddies to drive. He took the front seat out, and he just sat in the writing songs and stuff, thank God.
Yeah.
And anyway, that was about it. We stayed at motels, not, you know, five-star hotels. We stayed at Motel 6 and Howard Johnson's. And then after a gig would be, it would consist of maybe three or four sets at high school. And then we'll pack up our stuff and drive to the next town, which would be anywhere between 500 or 800 miles. Catch a couple hours sleep, do some radio interviews, and then do it all over again. It was nothing like touring today, except for maybe the band, just, you know, I've had their own bus, I think.
Right.
But yeah, these days it's much, much, much
Right. You're breaking up a little bit. I don't know why, but.
Well, I do. It's just cheap technology. Guys, they have the technology to make it work. They just don't want to lose.
Yeah. I get a better connection to England when I call those guys.
Yeah, plus I'm a conspiracy theorist.
You know what? I'm very impressed by.
Is that better? I'm standing almost outside now.
Okay, yeah, you sound like.
The problem is I don't have any pants on.
You sound better.
I better move away from the door.
Now, can you put your right arm up and your left leg out and?
Hey, don't laugh. I was doing that for the TV last night. That's funny. Like the 50s. But yeah, the touring on that 50th anniversary tour was
right.
Really something. I thought I was a gangster, man. I was roaming around in this big suite with my monogrammed bathrobe, you know, getting lost from room to room. But now we're back to Hampton something or other. Hampton Inn.
Oh, the Hampton Inn?
That's Western.
Yeah. Are you still joining the Beach Boys every once in a while on stage?
You know what? I noticed on your intro you missed one thing, and I think it's the best one, too. It's when we went on tour.
Right.
Al Jardine and I and Jeff Beck went on tour with Brian.
That was cool. Yeah.
That was awkward.
Yeah.
But it was cool in a way, yeah. But, and then we did another tour, too, without Jeff.
Uh-huh.
With just me and Brian and Al. And those went over pretty well. And I think Brian's band is still playing. I'm not with them. And Mike's band is still playing, and I'm not with them either.
I had,
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can add number now. Yeah, so I haven't been doing a lot with my fellow Beach Boys. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, last summer we did the Sirius Radio thing.
Right.
It was at Capitol Records. Rob Reiner interviewed us. And they played our music all summer.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2 summers ago. A little over a year.
Huh.
So nowadays I'm just doing my own thing.
Do you have an album coming out or anything like that?
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to start releasing like one song at a time as they get finished.
Right.
I'm just going to throw them out on Instagram and my web page and that kind of stuff for people to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, I play with the All Stars.
Right.
David just called me. This David Logan, the drummer. He used to play with Frank Zappa and Mike Love and different people. And he gets us bookings occasionally. Mm-hmm. And lucky sometimes he's able to book me along with his band. And a couple times a month if I'm lucky. And we go to, you know, Texas, Chicago, Pennsylvania, or whatever. And do little private, like, for corporates and things like that.
Right. I mean, you have so much influence, you could probably collaborate with just about anybody in the music industry if you wanted to.
Well,
yeah.
I kind of like to do something with Paul McCartney.
That would be cool.
I think we could work well together, actually. Yeah. I haven't told him that yet.
Right.
But I'm just kind of, I'm still, like, I'm 71 and I'm still getting my act together.
You're still young.
I'll be taking it on the road shortly, so who knows what's going to happen.
Right. You know, I was very impressed by you becoming a member of Delaney and Bonnie also. And for those that don't...
Everything's by chance. Oh, well, actually, I guess nothing's by chance. But it's a chain of events, is
right.
What I meant to say. I was just doing the Moon Records with Matt Moore. And Jim Keltner happened to come in because he was friends with Larry Brown, our drummer. So Jim played on Life of the Season and a couple other things. And then Jim Keltner was playing with Delaney and Bonnie at the time and said, Jerry McGee can't do it. Can you come by our rehearsal?
Right.
So that's what happened. I went by the Delaney and Bond 8 rehearsal, and Delaney and I bonded. And I did two gigs with them, I think, at the Golden Bear was the name of that club in Huntington Beach. It's not there anymore, I don't think. Maybe it is. And once the third night, Dr. John steps over and says, "Do you mind if I sit in, Dave?" I said, "No, go right ahead." And then I never got a call back after that. It was Dr. John's spot after that.
Oh, really?
And then after that, it was Eric Clapton's spot.
Right.
So if I'm going to be canned, those are the guys you're going to, you know. But I did love that album. And Delaney and Bonnie and Friends, that was a great album.
Great album.
They had like Leon Russell and Jerry McGee, Bobby Keys.
Yeah.
I think Carl Real, maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway, great guys.
Yeah, you had guys like, Graham Parsons, George Harrison, all those guys were part of that.
Oh, yeah, the guest stars, the list of guest stars goes on forever. John Lennon, people like,
That's pretty crazy. You know, if you, around the internet, on all the pages, it says that David Marks was replaced by Eric Clapton. So there you go. That's not too bad.
Well, yeah, that's how I do it. It's a typical business, like a music business thing that happens every day, 100 times a day. Somebody will have to, "Hey, I got this great gig with this great band in this club downtown." And that's how the animal is. It's the way of the world.
Yeah. But you got to play, you know, you were in Casey Kasem's band, which I had no idea Casey Kasem had a band.
Well, that was that. This guy, Amy Haddad, and his brother and cousin had a trio. They had a singing group, and they didn't have their own band, so the Beach Boys backed up all the singers without bands, you know, like Caesar and Cleo, who got, they were actually Sonny and Cher, but they messed up like Caesar and Cleo back then.
Right.
And just, you know, we were back up taking DD and just moving all in Sam Cooke one night. They looked at each other really funny and said, "These guys aren't really going to back us up, are they?" But luckily, I think Carl knew that one song. And, we were famous for screwing up singers. Like kids backing up all these huge stars. It was weird. But anyway, Eddie wanted to be a recording artist, but it just so happens that Casey, his cousin, got his gigs backing up all the stars that played around town at the high schools and stuff. We did one record, but it was a cover of Smash Domino song. I forgot it. What the name of it was. A whole lot of loving.
Yeah, I like Casey Casey. I did like Casey.
Got a whole lot of.
Yep.
Anyways, that's about it with the band without a name.
The band without a name.
Yeah, that was Mark and I from the Marksmen joined, what's his name, Richard Face and Larry Puckett.
Yeah.
Not Gary Puckett, Larry Puckett.
Right.
Two different guys.
You should be doing so much more, man, because you studied jazz and classical guitar. You went to Berkeley.
I didn't go to Berkeley long.
No.
It was like a week.
Right.
What happened was three of us from that school, we went around the corner to the conservatory and studied with the resident composer there because Berkeley wasn't actually what we were looking for.
Really?
There was a lot of disgruntled instruction guys that wanted to be on the road with Buddy Rich. And so they were like not very good teachers. Now it's different. They have, you know, all the good people online giving lessons, so it's a little different these days.
Yeah.
But back then it wasn't very great. And besides, I must add, I didn't have the qualifications. I didn't have a million hours of private instruction or a high school diploma or any of that crap. So I wasn't eligible to go. They invited me to sit in and audit the classes, but I preferred not to. Anyway, the guy at the conservatory taught me so much. I still use it today, even in, you know, everyday life. So that was a good move.
Yeah. You know, most guys can't even read music, you know. I mean, you know, Hendrix, the Beatles, you know, none of these guys read music.
Well, I didn't learn until Brian learned it in high school.
Uh-huh.
and that kind of, that intrigued me. So when I was about, I don't know, maybe 19, I decided to actually study music theory.
Yeah.
I learned how to read music in the fourth grade.
Wow.
I played the trumpet in the school band.
Uh-huh.
And I was in the chorus in the fourth and fifth grade, so I learned how to read little melodies. But I took a correspondence course from Berkeley when I was about 19, and that got me where I wanted to. Composer guy.
Right.
He taught me a lot about it. He wanted me to be his copyist, and I took that as an insult. Where now I look back, and that would have been the greatest musical experience and education that I could have possibly gotten.
Yeah.
Somebody like that's a copyist.
Right.
That I was ignorant and I didn't know. So I came back to LA to play in the blues clubs.
Yeah.
I have ADD and I can't study. I'd be a genius if I didn't have ADD. If God gives us that to make the playing field even, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I play some guitar, but I could never do the theory stuff, man. I don't have the patience to learn it. It's like mathematics, you know? It's like learning
Well, it's not like mathematics, it's theater.
It's crazy. It's too complicated.
It's abstract.
It
requires many trains of thought down many avenues at the same time.
It does. That's why a lot of guys don't want to read music. They just want to play by ear.
Joe Morello can play in two different time signatures at once.
Yeah.
That's always amazing.
That's crazy. But you were offered, if I get this right, a lead guitar spot with Paul Revere and the Raiders, but you turned that down because you didn't want to wear the uniform thing? Is that true?
Yeah, I didn't want to wear the funny suit. Nobody around me. Emmett Rose, same thing. He lived down the street.
That's funny.
Emmett Rose lived down the street from me on Imperial Highway.
Mm-hmm.
He had the Palace Guard, and they dressed like the Meat Eaters or the Meat Eaters.
Right.
And then there was the Raiders. There was the Pope Rommels and who the heck else. There was a bunch of them back then, and it was just kind of stupid. I guess the English invasion prompted these guys, inspired them.
Right.
Do the gimmick with their silly suit.
Yeah.
And Alice Cooper and those guys, you know.
Yeah.
I guess it was a form of theater rock, wasn't it, or not?
Yeah.
With the uniforms and stuff. Anyway, I just took away from the music, and even so, it was good that I had that as an excuse, because it isn't really like their music either, so.
Yeah, that's true.
So I used the uniform thing as an excuse.
Right. Yeah, you guys didn't have to dress up much as in the Beach Boys. I mean, you had those striped shirts, you know, which was pretty cool. You know, that was the style back then. But that's about it.
Pendletons were good.
Yeah, yeah.
Our first uniforms were like mustard, baby poop colored, yellow, like blazers.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible. Mine, I had to use one of Brian's because I didn't get one. And it was like down my knees.
Right.
That was our first few gigs.
And,
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You, every once in a while you'll break up, but you come back.
I always come back. The thing that wouldn't leave.
Mm-hmm. Dennis was the only one that really surfed, right? I think you surfed a little bit.
Go together. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really to surf, it was just to hang out at the beach. But
right. Yeah,
he knew how. And I think he went frequently. He was no Kamana Moko brother, but he was. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Kamana Moko. Those guys invented surfing.
Right.
Hawaii, 100
right.
years ago. He, I guess he was good enough. I don't think he could compete in any of the competitions nowadays, so. What he was really good at was racing. He was a race car driver, and uh-huh. He won things. I think he still holds records. He had an assumed name, though, and I don't even know what it was. I'll have to ask Billy or somebody what his name he used. But he stole the record books for some drag racing he did. And,
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, most of his racing was up and down Sunset Boulevard, though.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But most of the guys, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Most of the guys I interview, of course, they always say their influences are the Beatles. You guys are totally different because you came out before the Beatles. So it's, to me, I think, like the Ventures and guys like that, right?
Well, you know, it's a trip. Sometimes I haven't done this since I've become an adult lately. Oh, I don't know if I've ever become an adult.
None of us have.
Second thought, yeah. Anyway, it was a trip for me to think about them looking at our pictures on the back of those albums,
right,
and saying, hey, we could do that. You know? And, yeah, so it's interesting how the different groups influence each other.
Yep.
I think the Beatles and the Beach Boys and many others have quite a few of the same influences with, you know, like the old blues, Buddy Holly, Elvis Presley,
yep,
you know, you name it.
Yeah.
Everybody's a big influence on the Beatles, And Elvis Presley said that his main influences were Dean Martin and Robert Johnson. And you can actually hear that when you listen to Elvis.
Huh.
He's got the, which
yep
is from Dean Martin.
Right.
And he's got the, which is from Robert Johnson.
How about that? I never knew that. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
He used to go to all the rhythm and blues clubs and stuff, and Elvis did, and pick up on their style.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys did that, Jerry Lewis, a lot of those guys.
You guys had, you know, people remember the British invasion, but I remember, I mean, I'm old and I'm not that old, but before the surfing scene, at the same time, you had the Beatniks.
Yeah, that's right. We used to play at a place that the Beatniks owned. It was called Pandora's Box.
Right.
And it was on Sunset and Crescent Heights, and we had a gig there every Saturday night for a couple summers, I think, or something like that. That's where we met the Honeys. And Preston F., the bongo player, was a steady guy there every night. And then they had the black light room with all the pictures, that, you know, the velvet fluorescent pictures and the smell of urine and cigarette smoke.
Mm-hmm.
With coffee and coffee.
Right.
The Beatniks, yeah, they were before. They were actually, I think, the basis of the hippies, weren't they?
Exactly. Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember Dobie Gillis? Remember Maynard Ferguson?
Maynard G. Krebs.
Oh, okay. Maynard G. Krebs. That's right. Yeah.
Tuesday Weld. I saw her at my mom's house one day. It blew me away.
At your mom's house?
Yeah, every time I would come into my mom's house, there'd be a different celebrity sitting at the kitchen table.
Really?
Tina Turner. They just filled in Tina Turner, who else? Bunches of them, mostly in the music business.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she was the psychic to the stars.
Really?
For that.
I didn't know that.
People would come over and she'd tell them what they want to hear and they'd praise her. She never charged any money for it.
Well, she did.
So, yeah, Regis wanted her to go on his show and do that, and she wouldn't do it. She's shy. Her teacher said that you're not supposed to accept money for spiritual help, was what her teacher taught her.
Right, right.
So, anyway.
Huh. Yeah, I had, I had Dionne Warwick on recently. Remember, she used to have that psychic thing going on?
Oh, she did the advertisement for it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
I don't know if she had a piece of it or not.
I don't either. Probably.
That was like a scam or something.
Yeah, I think you're right. I got a question for you about Murray. If Murray wasn't in the, you know, if he wasn't the manager, would you have stayed with the Beach Boys?
I'm sorry, what was that?
If Murray was not the manager of the Beach Boys, would you have stayed with the Beach Boys?
Oh, you know, I didn't have any guidance, parental guidance or guidance, what is it?
Parental guidance or, yeah.
I said guidance. That could be a word. Excitation, sub-guidance.
Right.
Anyway, I don't know. That's probably what my problem was back then, is I wasn't getting enough attention. I wasn't asked to sing because my, how do I say this, my voice was changing.
Right, right.
And, plus my songwriting, I mean, Custom Car Show was just as stupid as any of Brian's car songs. But I just wasn't being taken seriously, and my little ego wanted to do more.
Right.
So I got my own band, and just to pan out, right? But it was a hell of a lot of fun. We got to tour of California twice, and we did a bunch of gigs around. And but I think, I don't know, Murray was a good manager. He, if it wasn't for Murray, there wouldn't be any Beach Boys, I believe. I think he was the one who talked Capitol Records into signing us after every other label in the world virtually turned us down.
Yeah.
And he tried his hardest to teach us about public relations and business, but we wouldn't have any of that because we were too young and we just wanted to party, especially Dennis and I.
Right.
Carl was more into the business, and Mike obviously was because he was an adult at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Brian just wanted to write songs. So we, you know, I think destiny goes its own way and it's all for the best, you know. I'm really happy with where I ended up, and if it hadn't been for all that stuff behind me, you know, it would have been different. So,
did you get hurt when Murray sold the Sea of Tunes for like $700,000, the publishing company?
Was I hurt?
Yeah, I mean, did it hurt you financially or anything?
Oh, no, because I didn't have any tunes.
Oh, you didn't have any tunes? Okay.
The people had never recorded any of my little songs,
right,
unfortunately. I mean, it said pay me on some of them that I was on, it would be good too. But
right.
They only paid me on, I don't know, two-thirds of what I played on Capitol. And the rest, I don't, mysteriously vanishes.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for Murray, there wouldn't be a Beach Boys. But if Murray had stayed, he would have been a real, I don't know, maybe he should have stayed. See, if he hadn't wanted to be in the artistic end of it, he would have stayed.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was him intervening in the Brian's production.
Right.
That was the whole problem.
Yeah.
But I think that the Beach Boys have made really bad decisions all along throughout their entire careers, mm-hmm. as far as management and marketing, and they just name it, and it's been handled badly.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did interview Mike Love. It was at a time where he was, I guess, suing, you know, for some of the rights for his songs. And, you know, I think he was a little bitter about that. And a lot of people didn't like him doing that. But, you know, if he's on there, he's on there.
I actually spent my last $10 for parking to go to that trial to testify.
Really?
Which is ironic for him to win $10 million. Yeah, it was ironic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I set up for him. I remember being in the car with Brian and Mike when they wrote some of that silly stuff.
Right.
And Murray did try to take it away from him. In Murray's mind, he probably justified that, oh, Mike probably was just in the room when Brian wrote the song, and Brian was a nice guy and gave him credit, but...
Mm-hmm.
That's not exactly true, and Mike, you know, was a lyricist.
Yep.
You know, he's a successful lyricist. Let's face it, you know, California Girl or whatever he wrote the words to. It's hard to discern nowadays who wrote what exactly.
Yeah, he sung Kokomo, and he sang Good Vibrations to me on the phone.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah, he wrote the words to Warmth of the Sun.
Right.
That's a genius song.
Yeah.
So anyways, I mean, everybody did their part and shouldn't be cheated.
Right.
I mean, if any of the elements had been different, it might not have been as successful. And that includes personnel.
Right.
And I got to give credit to everyone. Murray, Mike. I mean, the Wilson family were all five musical geniuses.
Yeah.
And I was just lucky to move in across the street from that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was planned by God or what, but that's what happened, and the rest is history.
Yep, great story. David, here's a question I ask everybody, and I get some interesting answers. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like in the movie, to perform or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
Oh, I can't think of anybody in particular. I can just tell you who I really like. I love Bach.
Mm-hmm.
I love, if I could hang out and learn something from Alan Holdsworth, great guitarist from Wales, I think.
Right.
And I must say, we didn't do much, but being on the same stage with Jeff Beck was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, I always loved his stuff.
Yep.
And, like I said before, I wouldn't mind collaborating with Paul McCartney on some things, but I know he's a busy guy and he has, you know, a million other things to do, and I'm just lazy and I never get to the phone to call anybody. And,
right.
But just, you know, as your fantasy question, I think that would he would be on the list.
Go ahead.
Sorry, what?
I said I'd like to see in Ringo's All-Star Band. That'd be kind of cool.
You know, I haven't seen them yet.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen them perform, but I don't even know what they do. But yeah, Ringo is another innovator in the music business that, you know, everybody copied what he did.
Did you get a chance to meet the Beatles back in the day?
No, not until later. I remember back in the day, though, going to the Beatles party, and we never made it inside because we got arrested.
Oh,
me and a couple of the turtles, like Mark and Howard.
What happened?
We got up to the parking lot, and the guy who was driving my car, actually in my own car,
right.
His name was Jack, and Jack was in the Ever-Present Fullness. They were like another band. He mouthed off to the parking lot attendant, who happened to be an undercover security cop.
Right.
So he dragged us out of the car, searched us, and found a roach on Jack. In the ashtray or somewhere.
Right.
And hauled us all down to jail. He let me and Terry and a few guys go, I think. And a few of them overnight. There was like five or six guys in my car. And then, but that was silly, but it's a good story.
Did you say Mark? Was Mark and Howard there from the Turtles?
Pardon me?
Did you say Mark and Howard from Flo and Eddie? Were they there?
Yeah, Mark Bowman.
Howard. Yeah, Howard.
Those guys were from. They were from Westchester, which is the next town over from Hawthorne.
Uh huh.
And they had a surf band.
Yeah, they're good guys. I've hung out with them backstage a few times. They're pretty cool.
They were called the Crossfires.
Okay.
And we had battles with the bands, with the Crossfires and the Beach Boys and the Marquettes and everything down at Avalon.
Right.
Santa Monica. That place is gone now, but yeah, they were in the car. And that was a silly thing.
Is that in your book?
What about it?
Is that story in your book?
I don't know if it is or not. Some stories I told to John. All my stories are the ones I can remember.
Right.
He said, I can't write this because no one would believe it. He said,
David, you got anything? You got anything else for me? Anything else you'd like to promote?
Well, I was just, what I do normally is just those questions. I'm promoting my edition. I guess if you keep tabs on my website,
okay,
davidleemarks.com, right. Then you'll find out when my new edition of the book, I believe there's going to be another last chapter and some changes made.
Terrific. Yeah.
So maybe someday that will come out again. And I plan on releasing some music that might be on the website or the Instagram account. So keep an eye on those. And I don't know if the Surf City All-Stars will be in your city soon. But I never know when I least expect if my glove calls me to go out on the road.
Yep.
For whatever reason. I never really know the reason. But I always, you know, put my Beach Boy hat and go on, you know, go out with him.
Yeah, Mike comes here a lot, Florida. The Clearwater and Sarasota. Yeah. They come here a lot. And Brian was here not long ago, too. So they're here on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's a good place for them.
Yep, it is the beach.
That it is.
David, thank you so much, man, for being on the show today. I wish the Beach Boys had recorded some of your music back in the day, because you know you got the talent, you know you got the voice. I've heard you sing; you sound great to me. I didn't know your voice was changing at the time, but you know.
Yeah, I've been singing all my life.
And, yeah.
But I think that I don't know. We'll just keep going. You never know what's going to happen. We did the That's Why God Made the Radio album, which we didn't really have a lot to do with.
Right.
We all got to sing, and you know, you can hear my guitar on it, so it's cool.
Yeah, you play great guitar, by the way. You got so much to offer, man.
Well, I'm hopefully going to produce some music and put it out on the internet, on
good.
The website, and wherever else.
Yep.
They still have a format to sell music. Is CD, maybe, and all that stuff go Amazon, probably, right, or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm publishing a book on CD Baby right now.
Yeah.
So
well,
they're all still around.
Appreciate it, Ray. Thanks. Anytime, man.
Hey, we'll come back when your book is upgraded, and I'll make sure I get a copy of it once it's out. And I'll get the one that's available now on Amazon.com.
Sounds great. Hope you enjoy it.
All right, David. Thank you so much, man, for being on the show. Good luck. God bless you, dude.
Same to you. See you next time.
All right. Bye-bye. See you next time. Bye-bye. For more information about David Marks and the Beach Boys, visit www.davidleemarks.com, www.facebook.com/DavidMarksOfficial, www.thebeachboys.com. Purchase David's book, The Lost Beach Boy, The True Story of David Marks, one of the founding members of the Beach Boys, at Amazon.com. Very special thanks to Carrie Marks for arranging this interview with David Marks, and of course, the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsom of BBS Radio, for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. It's real news. And don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of a Neglected American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, available now at Amazon.com. I promise you will live it. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on BBS Radio, Station 1.